This is the second issue, episode of our study in the attributes of God. And there's nothing more important in life than knowing God, right? If you say, what is the most important thing in life, it's knowing God. And the key to having a good life is not only to know Him, but to know Him well. And it's not like knowing God changes what happens to you. It changes how you respond to what happens to you. And the key is we have to know God. We have to know Him well. Let me start with this simple illustration. Have you ever been hurt by someone who changed? You know, maybe I think some of us, when you were young, maybe you had a best friend, whether that was young playing in the sandbox as a little kid, maybe a little older playing ball, playing with the dollhouses, if that was what you do, whatever. Have you ever had a friend like, you're my best friend, and all of a sudden they weren't your best friend anymore? And they started hanging out with other boys, other girls, and you felt hurt, right? You mean you felt like, wow, this hurt me. They changed. And then maybe over time, maybe you got a little bit older. It could be a boyfriend, girlfriend kind of thing, maybe high school, college, even whatever. And somebody who, you know, I am so committed to you. You're my boyfriend. You're my girlfriend. And nothing's going to change that. And that was true, you know, for about 3 weeks. And, you know, we kind of chuckle at that. But when you're going through it, it's not funny at all. And you're actually thinking, am I going to maybe end up spending my life with this person? That would be awesome. And pretty soon they're not interested, even though they told you they would never not be interested. It could be many things. It could be your parents. It could be a parent saying, I'm committed to you. And for whatever reason, the commitment wanes. It might not even be their fault, right? It could be, you know, some of you have older parents, some of us older parents. It might be failing health. It might be dementia, whatever. And parents who would never say something purposely unkind to you, well, that's not so anymore. And people change, and they hurt us. God will never do that. Tonight we're going to talk about the attribute of God's unchangeableness. Some theologies will call it God's immutability. You say, what do you mean by God's unchangeableness? Again, I'm using definitions out of Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology. God is unchanging in His being, perfections, purposes, and promises. And it goes on from there, and we're going to cover the second half of that next week, okay? But this is what we'll cover tonight, Lord willing. God is unchanging in His being, His perfections, His purposes, and His promises. Let's just walk through those one at a time. First of all, God is unchanging in His being, who He is. Never changes. I have Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. Everything in our lives changes. It grows old, like a garment grows old, right? The longer you wear a coat or a suit or whatever, it doesn't look nicer. The longer you drive your car, it doesn't look nicer. The longer you live in your house, it doesn't look nicer. The longer we're in this building, it doesn't look nicer. It begins to look old and worn. God's not that way. You are the same, and your years have no end. So God is what? Unchanging in His being. Malachi 3:6 maybe puts it more clearly and distinctly. I, the Lord, do not change. It's just who He is. God never changes. God couldn't change. We would say that God is unchangeable in His being. Secondly, He's not only unchanging in His being, who He is. Number two, God is unchanging in His perfections. Just another way of saying that. God is unchanging in His attributes. You say, let's take an attribute. And I have one. And it's one of my favorite texts in the Bible. James 1:17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift. So anything good in my life is from above. It comes down. And here's the unchanging part. From the Father of lights. He's not the Father of darkness. He's the Father of lights, right? With whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. You know the sundial thing. What is a sundial? It's the idea that the shadow changes, right? So if I'm standing outside in the morning, and I can't think quick enough to know which way east and west is, whatever, so I'll just say over here. I have a long shadow in the morning. And then as we get closer to noon, my shadow is getting smaller and it's gone. And then as we go towards afternoon, my shadow is on this side and it's getting long and it's always changing. God never changes. Every good thing in my life comes down from an unchangeably good God. There's no variation. There's no shifting shadow. He's always that way. And you say, Greg, there are times that I don't feel that way. I understand that. So you're obviously feeling something that is incorrect because he can't change. On your best day, it's like, man, I just feel like God is so good because all of these things in my life are going so well. And we would say, praise the Lord. For every good thing in your life, praise the Lord. And then you're thinking, wow, right now I don't feel like God's that good. He's unchangeably good. God never changes in his attributes. We may not feel the same towards him, but he's always the same. He's unchanging, one, in his being, two, in his attributes. Number three, he's unchanging in his purposes. Our third point, I have here Numbers chapter 23. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Psalm 33 and verse 19. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. So the Lord has plans. Can you change God's plan? No, you can't change God's plan. God has a plan, and it stands firm forever. The purpose of his heart, what he purposes to do, that's what he does. Okay? His purposes are unchanging. Isaiah puts it this way in 46:9-11. My purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. I will do it. Okay? You can't stop God from doing what he wants to do. If God wants to do something, guess what? He does it. And even sometimes I think we may have heard some well-intended but bad preaching on this. That, you know what, if you're not actively serving Christ, then God's not going to be able to do what he wants to do. Like God needs you. Okay? God does what he wants. You say, but isn't Satan real? Of course Satan's real. And God does what he wants. You say, but Satan can stop God? Then he's not God. Okay? If Satan can stop God, then God's not God. There's only one God. And Satan can't stop him. And there's many different illustrations of that. The one that rung true with me many years ago, you say, what is Satan? He's a mad dog, right? A mad dog on a chain. Newsflash. Guess who's holding the chain? Satan is under God's sovereignty, guys. Satan does nothing that God doesn't give him permission to do. God has purposes, and they don't change, and they will be accomplished. He's unchanging in his purposes. One more. Here's really a great one. He's unchanging in his promises, right? You think about all of the wonderful promises that God has made, right? And he's given us many, many great promises. And what does Numbers, here we go, 23:19 say? God is not man that he should lie, right? We lie sometimes. Or a son of man that he should change his mind. We do that a lot, right? You know, you tell your kids, hey, we're going to go to the zoo next week. Daddy, aren't we going to the zoo? Well, no. You know, we've changed our minds. We're not going to the zoo. It's raining. But Daddy, you said. Yeah, I know what I said. But I changed my mind. God never does that. God never does that. He said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Numbers 23:19. if there's a promise in the Scripture, you can be absolutely confident that God is unchanging in His promises, as well as His purposes and His attributes and His being. Go back to the opening illustration. Have you ever been hurt by someone? You know, some of the smaller ones, they still hurt, are playing with the kid who says, "Hey, you're my best friend." And the next thing, he doesn't want to be your friend. I mean, life gets hard. Sometimes that is a lot bigger. And there's people in your family that you love, and they say, "I really don't want to have a relationship with you anymore." It's so hurtful. It happens in a marriage. Don't even want to talk about that. It is so hurtful. "Yeah, I know I made vows, but I've changed. It's not how I feel anymore." And whether it's as a kid, whether it's within the family, we hurt each other. God will never do that. He is unchangeable in His being, His attributes, His purposes, and His promises. Now, maybe some of you are thinking, "But Greg, doesn't it say in the Bible that God repents and changes His mind?" We'll talk about it next week. And that'll be the second half of our study. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You that You are a God. You never change in Your being, Your perfections, Your purposes, Your promises. May that be a great encouragement to us. And as we divide up now and meet in our shepherd groups to discuss this further, may it be a spiritually encouraging and profitable time as we get to know You better and talk about how practically that encourages, how it practically encourages us. Well, thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.